Well, I'm not sure where to start here. I probably start about three pages into my sermon, not because he took a long time or my teaching, but because it's a bit of a difficult segue, but I think it's fitting because the lesson today is about something we don't talk about very much, if at all, because we don't want to talk about it, or we don't know how to talk about it, and it's so terribly important. So if you'll throw the scripture up on the wall, we're going to read the story. This is in sequence with our make the word fresh, make the words of Jesus fresh, something like that. Yeah. Word made fresh, right? So as you're thinking about what Nathan said and your part in it going forward, let's consider the lesson of the day. So here's a lesson of the day. Let's read from Luke 12. And I chose the Message Bible because it just seems to be so much more impactful with the way the words are said. So someone out of the crowd said, "Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance." I guess he was fighting with his dad and his brother. This is not the one that went away to the pig pen. This is a different situation. And Jesus replied, "Mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or mediator for you?" Speaking to the people, Jesus went on. So he told this guy to get lost, as Jesus has done many times in Scripture and maybe even does today, because he didn't agree with the situation. So speaking to the people, Jesus went on, "Take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed." Greed is the word, is the concept, is the action, is the heart that we want to talk about today. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Then he told him a story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop, and he talked to himself, the farmer that is, "What can I do? My barns are so small, not big enough for the harvest. And we don't have the Canadian Wheat Board to take my grain, so I got to look after it myself. So what can I do?" Then he said, "Here's what I'll do." Smart guy. Didn't take him very long to figure it out. "I'll tear down my barns." Now, I'm not so sure that was a good idea. I would have kept the old barns, and I would have just built some new barns. That's what I would have done. But this guy figured, no, I've got so much. I can tear them down, and I can upgrade to the next level of construction material, which whatever that was. "Then I'll gather in all my grain. Then I'll build bigger ones. And I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'd say to myself, self, me, you've done pretty good. You've got it made. And can now retire. Take it easy. Have the time of your life." Then God showed up and said, "Fool, dummy, idiot, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods." By the way, that's the old barn. This guy never even had a chance or time to design the new barns. Your old barns, who's going to get it? And that's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. Now, in your bulletin, there's a little piece of paper with four questions on it. We're not going to have time to answer all the questions, but we might answer one or two of them. And the first question I'm going to ask you, and I want a quick interactive responses. I want a definition of greed from your perspective. This is not incriminating you. This, because you give me a definition, doesn't mean you're greedy. Just tell me, give me somebody, put their hand up and say, What's greed in your mind? Yes. Okay, when you want to take more than you're willing to give. Okay, let's remember that. Yeah, what do you say there? Huh? What did he say? Yes, yes. I'm old, I'm drawing a blank. Go. Did you want an answer? Give me the answer. Huh? Big pig? Okay. All right. Yes. Not having enough. Always wanting more. Okay. Well, this is what this guy did. He had enough. He wanted more. He got more. And guess what? He never made it through the night. That's a pretty serious Jesus, eh? You make a move, you say something, you think something. And this guy didn't make it through the night. Yes. When yourself is out of control? Oh, okay. Did you want to give me a definition? Okay. Yeah. When you don't let God take charge of your finances. All right. That's another sermon. But that's a good answer. One more. You're not hearing God what? Oh, and you're not sharing God's love. Okay. Well, there's lots of definitions, and I'm going to give you my definition right at the end after we've talked about this a little bit. So you write in whatever you want to write in there. But actually, it's when you want more. The definition out of the scripture is that if you want more than you need, that's when you're greedy. When the want is bigger than the need. You got the idea? Now, you guys all look like you're shining inside. We sang the song, "It is well with my soul," and it is. But the problem is, it's not always well with our soul. And you might walk out of here today and all of a sudden slip into a mindset of greed. Now, I am not going to stand here and say, if you do that, you're not going to make it through the night. Okay? And I can tell you from personal experience, and I'll give you a few stories. I'll give you one story right now. I'll give you a story of greed. 1993, we had a good year. We had a really good year. We weren't farmers. We were making cabinets. And the profit line was way more than we thought it would be. So my partner and I, we said, we did happy hour with ourselves. Have you guys ever done happy hour? What is happy hour? Why is it on Friday? Because you work so hard and you say, I have worked so hard, I deserve two drinks for one. I deserve to have a little bit of fun. Now, that's going to turn into a poetic something or other right away. So where do we run? To the bar. No, we don't all run to the bar. But we have the thought. And we like to get together. I mean, I don't go. I don't plug 4 to 6 on Friday to be at the King's Head, okay? That's not where I'm going with this. But we think it. We don't only think it on Friday. We think it on every day. We maybe think it every hour. You know what? I did pretty good. I worked really hard. I got my check. It's my check. I'm going to do with this check whatever I want. I'm going to enjoy life. All right? That sounds like the Bible story. A little bit. The override, the drift, the concept is it's mine. I earned it. I'm going to enjoy it. So 1993, going back to 1993. So we got together December 15th. And guess what? The bell rings at the end of the year, right? Meaning at the end of the year, whatever money you make, that's what you declare. So we looked at each other and we said, you know what? We worked terribly hard this year. You know what? We deserve a new company car. So we said, we decided we're going to each spend $28,000 on a car. The reason I said $28,000 because I knew that the Jeep Cherokee that I wanted to buy would cost $28,000. So I said to my partner, can you buy a car that you want? I'm not going to tell you what to buy. Yeah, I'll figure it out. So I went and bought my Jeep Cherokee, and he went and bought a Cadillac. Nothing wrong with that. Same amount of money. It was a stripped-down Cadillac. You can't buy a fully loaded Cadillac for $28,000 in 1993. And, you know, we were kind of feeling guilty. I wasn't feeling guilty about me coming up with a Jeep Cherokee, driving up and parking it in the front of the building. But I said, you know what? We've never had a Cadillac before. This is going to stretch it a little bit. So I felt a little bit of guilty just generally that we had done the whole thing, you know. But we did it. And you know what? I didn't even think twice about it. Except when one of the workers came and said, hey, it's about time you guys had a Cadillac. You're the bosses. You deserve it. Justification from some guy who never owned a Cadillac. Now, why am I telling you that? And by the way, that's only one story out of about 10,000 stories of greed in my life, okay? Now, while you can laugh and you can say, but I want you to start thinking about one story in your life that matches that story over there, the principle of greed, and I'm not going to ask you to worry about whether you're going to make it through the night or not. Now, if I had 10,000 stories, you're probably wondering why I'm still alive. Okay, that's for a little later on. Okay, and by the way, we're not talking about, anybody ever watched this program called American Greed? Nobody watch American Greed? Am I the only guy that watches it? Anyway, it's all about crooks and gangsters and guys who fraudulently take money from poor people and whatever, and then the government catches up with them and they go to jail. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about personal greed. We're talking about one-on-one, you, yourself, and God greed. Events, stories. And, by the way, I think the first time I might have been greedy was when I was 14 years old. What happened when I was 14 years old? When I was 14 years old, I was living at the end of Gordon Avenue in between two coal dumps. Alec Turk, Coal and Fuel, across the street, and Unita Coal. And every time they loaded their trucks, the soot pasted onto the white wall of our house. And I would pedal my little trike or my bike down the street, and I'd come home and wipe my brow, and it'd be black. Now, I lived in the coal mines. And I decided, you know what? I don't want to live in the coal mines the rest of my life. So here's what I got greedy. I think this might be greed. I had a dream. Do you know that you can be greedy with dreams? Your dreams can be greedy? Maybe your dreams are even more greedy than what you do, because you can dream your dreams, think it, but you can't do it. So you're saved from greed because you really can't do your dreams right on the spot. So I had a dream. I didn't have a dream. I had this desire. I want to get out of here, and I don't want to have to live where it's dirty. Now, that's 14 years. That's 14 years old, okay? That's a long time ago. Now, think about the dreams that you might have for moving ahead in life. Forget about how much, think about the money you have. Think about the things that you have in your life that you're not really satisfied with. You want to get better than what you've got. And I'm not just talking to the rich guys. I have a lot of friends in this church that get two checks a week, two checks a month, 15th and 30th. Right, Blackie? Two checks. You guys actually get four checks because you get two and two. Now, I'm not speaking for them and I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking about them, about the situation where you know how much money you're going to get in, and you spend the whole time trying to figure out what you're going to spend it on because you've only got about... Blackie, how long does it take to spend all your checks when you get them? How long does it take? One day or half a day? One day. And it's gone. And you think about what you're going to spend it on, right? Ahead of time. I'm not saying you're greedy. I'm just saying there's a mindset. You have to be ready to know what you're going to do with the resources that you have, whether it's this, that, or something else. And that's what this is all about. This guy, the big mistake he made wasn't here. The big mistake he made was long time before, when he didn't have it right in his mind what he's going to do with it, because this guy already had more stuff than he needed, okay? And now he had way more yet. So he never dealt with the issue of what to do with more than you have, more than you need. He never dealt with it. And I, you know, like I was thinking of reading this, I've read this thing over half a dozen or more times, and I'm saying, I wonder how many times God actually poked at this guy and said, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you consider this, you know? And because why would God just nail this guy the night off? There must have been some history there. There must have been some preambling to this judgment. Because God doesn't do that all the time. I mean, I've never heard of anybody, and thank goodness I'm still alive, and I hope it never happens to me or to anybody else that I know, but it happened in Scripture. And by the way, this is only one story. What about the guy, what about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and wanted to know how he could become righteous? And Jesus said to him, well, that's easy. Sell what you got, give to the poor, follow me. And he got the answer that he sure wasn't counting on because he wasn't ready to do it. And what happens? It says he went away sad. Sad meaning he didn't choose something that would make him happy, even though he had all the money, and he just took off. Then there's a story about, Jesus is hard on the guys who've got lots, the people who have lots of resources. What about the camel's eye? That's a tough one to take. It says it's harder to get a camel through the eye of a needle. It's not the camel's eye, it's the eye of the needle. Than for a rich person to go to the kingdom. Well, man, I don't even want to unpackage that one. That's just way too tough. That just means we're not talking about the practical issues of life. We're not talking about where you're going to spend your paycheck. We're talking about, is it well with your soul? We're talking about the eternal destiny of you, your soul, your whole being, because you don't know how to handle money. I don't know how to handle money. And let me tell you something. 35 years of my life, I chased down money. Owned my own business. Why did I own business? You know why? I told you this once before. I got fired once. And I said, there's only one way not to get fired, and that's to be your own boss. And that's what happened. Now, I am not speaking any kind of condemnation on any guys here that own a business and the business is zooming and you're making lots of money because, you know, I got a story. There's a story in the Bible that says the guy who didn't invest his money the right way, he was the guy who got the axe. The guy who had 5 talents and invested it in stocks and bonds. Oh, we're supposed to be able to invest in stocks and bonds? Oh, that's evil. No. I play the market. He got a recommendation. So did the guy who got 3 and doubled it. But the guy who put it in the ground, he was the unworthy servant. So I'm maybe messing your mind up a little bit here, or maybe Jesus is messing your mind up a little bit here. We know what greed is. Now we go back to the little piece of paper, and I don't want you to answer this question now. I want you to answer at home. Why does Jesus not tolerate greed? That's too big a answer. It's too big a question. Too many different answers, situations. Number three. How do you fight the temptation of greed? Okay, now I'm assuming that you have done what I asked you to do before. You've got one story in your mind right now that you know, where you know you were greedy. I don't want to ask anybody to say anything. I don't want you to put your hand up. I don't want you to smile or not smile, and that's going to tell me whether you did or didn't. I'm going to assume that we all have a story. And I'm also going to assume that we're going to learn something from that story today based on this story and the whole concept of what Jesus said about greed. And at the end of the day, now, this is the part that really blows me away. Jesus, the loving Savior, the Lord of our life, the one who we're going to see in eternity, spends more time condemning those who are not making the right decisions about what to do with the resources that we have. 12 years ago, we had $360,000 in the bank in this church. We were looking for a building. We were not in this building. We looked at 25 buildings in the area, couldn't find anything. We got an email from Noel, who was also looking for a building in Kathmandu, and he said, guess what? We found a building. How much is the building? $350,000. I just about croaked. In Kathmandu, it's $350,000. I thought maybe $35,000, but not $350,000. In the staff meeting, we talked about it, and all of a sudden, this overwhelming feeling came over the staff. We got the money. We don't have the building. They got the building. They don't have the money. So we decided to send them the money as a church. All right. That's not greed. That's the way Jesus wants us to react to those kind of situations. 2 months later. No, not 2 months. 10 days later, I'm driving down Sutherland Avenue this way. I see a sign for sale on this building. I look at the name. I know the guy. I've been doing business with the guy. I phone him up. How much you want for it? $200,000. $200,000 for this building? $2 million, I believe, but not $200,000. $200,000. Of course, it was a dump inside. We didn't have the money. After 3-4 years of looking, and we found the building after we gave our money away. Now, what kind of a deal is that, God? 2 months later, guy walked through that door and plopped $200,000 on the table and gave us the money. Didn't know the story, didn't know nothing. He just knew we needed the building. We never asked him for it. Gave us the money to buy the building. We didn't need $360,000, $50,000. We needed $200,000. We bought the building. We bought a really much nicer building than $350,000 could buy a building in Kathmandu. And look at it today. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have, I'm going to tie this together now. We have a responsibility individually to be able to make the decisions about whether or not we're going to be greedy, or we're going to give it away, or we're going to do with it what Jesus would be pleased with. Now, one more quick story. I said 35 years, right? That was 35 years counting back from 1995. In 1995, I had a chance to get out of my business. And I'm only telling you this because the last 10 years of doing what I was doing, the bean counting, the running around. I was so stressed out. I was just ready to die almost. And I had a chance to get out. And I said, I'm going to get out. But I don't want to have the same problem. I don't want to have the same problem that I had before. I don't want to have the problem after I get out. And then I got some revelation. I started to think, and I started to read, and I prayed, and I did whatever I had to do, you know, not 24 hours a day, but enough to offset the pressure of doing it wrong. And I realized that the story, the message of all the stories about riches and about wealth and resources and giving it away, and by the way, Jesus never told me to give my stuff away. Like all of it. Only that part of it that I would decide. I don't even want to go there and wonder what would have happened if you would have told me to do that. I just don't want to go into that story. That's just fairy tale land. But I realized that stewardship of anything that I had, anything that I had influence over, anything that I controlled was not mine, it was God's. And I was a steward. Like those three guys that got the 5, 3, and 1 talents. They were stewards. It wasn't their money. It was the guy's money who gave it to them. Then he took off, and he came back, and he said, so what are you guys been doing with my money? God says to me in 1995, what are you going to do with my money? Okay, I hope you don't mind these personal things, but these are really very personal, emotional situations in my life, and I want to share them with you because, not to blow my horn, just to help you understand that each one of us has exactly the same problem every single hour of every day because we deal more with money than we do almost anything else in our life. Okay, so now I'm a steward, and I wrote this article, The Ruin of a Capitalist. Because God told me to write it just for myself. It was like flushing the toilet on my previous life where I thought I owned it and I acted like I owned it and we bought Cadillacs and we, you know, whatever. I'm just using Cadillacs. So there's nothing wrong with a Cadillac. We did things that we didn't need to do. I got to the point where I had convinced myself that my wants were bigger than my needs. My wants were bigger than my needs. And I went for the wants. Okay, let's stop right there. The next decision that you got to make, and the next buying decision in your life that you have to make, whatever it is, it could even be food. Whatever you buy. Do you need it? Buy it. Do you want it? Be careful. Because that's the defining line. That is the defining line right there. And we'll keep it personal, and we'll kind of wind it down by now reflecting yourself where you are at. It's time to respond. It's time to respond to yourself. It's time to respond to God. Hopefully not like that. It's time to turn a corner. And don't count on somebody dumping a whole pile of money on you, okay? That's not going to happen. We're talking about the stuff you got right now. And I don't care whether it's in your household, if it's in your mind, if it's in your business, or if it's anywhere in your life. If we cannot make the decision that is pleasing to Jesus according to the values of the teachings of Jesus, being Christ-like, in our decision making. In other words, I call that reflex action. Like I want to get the principle straight so that when the decision point hits, I don't have to go read a couple books before I know what to do. I know, bang, that's who I am. Reflex action that pleases God. So I'm going to ask the ministry team to come back up, and now we're going to play that song again. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. It's well with our soul and through it all. Because guess what? We're going through it all. All of us are going through it all the time. And by the way, I'm not beating the drum for tithing. I'm not beating the drum for giving money away. That is not what we're talking about. We are talking about that your soul is in a good place, much better place than that guy's, that you can go to sleep at night knowing that you're at peace with God about greed. That's the big time right there. So let's open our hands, let's open our hearts, let's open our minds, and let's respond. You do it in your own private space right there. If you have to confess, you confess. Confess to God. Okay? You don't have to come to the curtain and confess. There's no curtain here. You confess. The part that we haven't talked about today is how do we deal with the temptation? So we are going to ask the Lord for strength, because this is a spiritual issue. This is not just a practical cerebral mind issue. This is a heart issue. This is about making the right decisions with your mind so that it's well with your soul. So God, I just ask for your presence now. In each of the secret spaces of everybody in this room, everybody who might hear this lesson, we ask for forgiveness where we have blown it. We thank you for your compassion that you haven't blown us off the map. And we thank you, God, that you are a revealing Lord, that you will manifest yourself in power, not just in this very moment, but in the moments to follow, in the hours of this day to follow, in the days of this week to follow, in the weeks of this month to follow, and the months of this year to follow. That we will make the decisions about our resources that will please you. So we ask, Lord, that you will come. Speak to us. And if you want to come up here for prayer, for strength, we have the ministry team that will pray for you. If something is really bothering you, you don't want to leave the building and you need to get it out, then come and share it. But above all, make the resolution right now in your mind and in your heart that the eye of the needle is not gonna be where you're at. Where you're at is going to be where Jesus is pleased. And he is glancing at you with a smile, and he's going to recognize you going forward as you stand before him, because you have lived a life of faith, a life of honesty, a life of purity, and a life of blessing to others. Ask for your presence to come now in Jesus' name. Amen.